How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Information's 411, your podcast from theinformation.com, a new site that covers the tech industry. My name is Tom Dotun. I'm a reporter here at The Information. Hope you guys are all hanging in there okay. We're still really only in week one of this thing, so gotta buckle down and pretend like we're in it for the long haul. So as you may have noticed, if you listen to our midweek episode, we are now doing two episodes a week in the midst of the coronavirus crisis to give you, our listeners, as much information as possible that you can find useful during this rather bizarre and slightly terrifying and altogether unprecedented circumstance. And so this episode is not going to be a story that we published in the past couple of days. It's a conversation that I had with Shai Oster, our Hong Kong bureau chief. And Shai has a really great perspective on what's going on in the U.S. right now because, like I said, he's based in Hong Kong. And once the coronavirus stuff started heating up pretty intensely in that country, he hightailed it to New York, where he has family, and spent a good amount of time there, 5 or 6 weeks. And he had the opportunity to sort of see from afar how Hong Kong was dealing with it. And then once things started getting pretty serious in New York, coronavirus-wise, he went back to Hong Kong and then got to see both from afar how people were reacting to it and also what life begins to look like once we get past, you know, the most intense period of all the quarantining and social distancing and things like that. So Shai kind of gives us a glimpse at what the light at the end of the tunnel may look like in the U.S. as well. So aside from that, please keep any information and tips or other things you guys have been thinking about coming to us. We're always happy to hear them. And like I said, here to help however we can beyond just reporting the news. So anything that you want to chat about with me, feel free to send an information, tom@theinformation.com, and I'll get back to you. All right, let's get on over to my conversation with Shai. So Shai, I'm happy to have you on this episode of the podcast because you have a very interesting perspective on everything that's going on in the U.S. right now because you are our Hong Kong bureau chief. So you were in Hong Kong as the virus, you know, spread from mainland, you know, across the ocean, and you kind of got out of Dodge for a bit in Hong Kong and then came back. So I think we should just kind of get from the outset your story on kind of how you saw things escalating in China and you know, what your response to it was and how, you know, people in Hong Kong decided to respond to it.
So this is, Hong Kong has been under kind of a very stressful couple of months prior to this because of the whole protest, the anti-China, well, pro-democracy protest, however you want to frame it.
Yeah.
And so there was already a lot of suspicion about anything Chinese. And as soon as there was the first hint of a virus, everybody here flashed back to 2003 and SARS, where about 300 people died in Hong Kong. Including a number of frontline medical workers. So, and a lot of people, that's the fresh memory, your scars from that. So there was immediately like calls for the government to shut down. And in fact, in the first couple of weeks, there was like the leadership here, Carrie Lam, chief executive, was roundly criticized for incompetence, mixed messages. And so people, but immediately the locals were like, we know this drill. And started panic buying toilet paper, face masks, hand sanitizer, and everybody started putting on their masks. Now, you got to know, in Hong Kong, people put on masks all the time. Partly, I guess it's, you know, culture in China was because of air pollution, people would wear masks.
Sure.
A lot. You see people wear cotton masks from the. But here also, it's sort of a common courtesy. Like, if you have a cold, you wear a mask to protect those around you.
Right.
So
right.
It's not as, it, like, so you see people wearing masks all the time.
And people have them. There's not the hoarding mentality you maybe saw in the U.S.
Well, there was. No, people had them, but there was also the hoarding mentality.
Gotcha.
You know, the other thing was, as soon as the China started signaling that it was quarantining Wuhan, everyone here was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
That was like, okay, if they're that scared, we should be scared too.
Because they were admitting it was a problem.
Yeah. No, that was, you know, and once there was like that, the doctor, because there were also the people here, remember the Dr. Li Wenliang, the doctor who was punished for first telling his friends on WeChat about a SARS-like flu, that also reached out to here. So people are already on alert for what was going on. But once the quarantines began, then people were like, oh no, this is serious.
Yeah.
And so immediately people began rushing out to buy the more masks. So that was that. And then once they closed the schools, you know, there was still a very small number of infected cases here. Up to this point, it's only about 200 in Hong Kong, and back then it was in the dozens, if that many. Mm-hmm. We decided to hightail out of it, not so much because we were afraid for the safety of our kids, although to be honest, I was actually afraid because they still hadn't really sealed the border with the mainland. I was beginning to wonder, like, could the local Hong Kong system just be overwhelmed by people fleeing China, which
sure.
actually never happened.
Right.
But we also felt that, like, okay, we got two small kids. They've just been out of school for about a month because of the Lunar New Year. They're going to be out of school for another month. If the virus won't get them, cabin fever, and we will.
Right, right, sure. Death becomes us.
So we're like, so we got on the plane, and surprisingly, like, already very few people on the flight. We arrived in America, and I remember the thing is when we got off, you know, they checked our temperature before we boarded. On the plane, everyone was wearing a mask. We were already getting, you know, cracked hands from obsessively washing. And we get to America, and I'm like, okay, well, where's the temperature guy?
Right.
Like, where's the screening? And there was nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Right. And this was when, by the way, Shai? What, mid-February or something?
This would have been early February.
Okay. Got it. So what was, I mean, like, look, when you got into, you know, New York, and so this is early February, were you talking to people about this? Were you telling them, look, this thing is happening. It's spread in Hong Kong. What was the reaction that you were getting from people in the U.S. at the time as you were explaining how bad this thing was looking for people out there?
So we're in a unique situation because my family is a bunch of doctors. My mom is an ex-lab tech. And my brother works, he's at a clinic actually that focuses in the Chinese community in New York, in Flushing and some other places. So they were kind of aware already what was going on. And so we were already, in my circle, cautious. And we were telling people around us, like, you know, this is coming. And people were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, so my immediate circle was like, yeah, wash your hands, be careful. We were already like, okay, we can send the kids to the playground, but maybe wait. We'll only go in the morning when people are still in school. We don't want to, like, you know, like, we were just washing our hands obsessively and being careful in what we did. But we saw still, like, you know, for my brother, he was like, you know, we have the Chinese community stopped going to clinics because they were like, we're all, you know, don't go to a medical center because you don't want to get anything there. So they saw a huge drop, decline in usage. And so they already began preparing. And the ones who came in were like, I think I might have it. And so, but they didn't have tests.
Right. So
there's nothing they could do, right?
Did that blow your mind at the time, by the way, the fact that they weren't even testing for it at all here?
My head was exploding. I've been in rage for a long time. I mean, I've been in rage for a very long time, but this was just kind of like, must be kidding me.
So when you get back to Hong Kong, what was your perspective on how things were developing in the U.S.? I mean, maybe even brought it to not just how you were reacting to it, but what was the viewpoint from Hong Kong as things started to escalate in the U.S.?
The viewpoint from Hong Kong is just a sort of appalled horror at the incompetence and unpreparedness that they see. Mm-hmm. And also there's a feeling, I mean, Hong Kong, you know, it's an island. There's a little tiny isthmus. It's easy to seal off. So people here are kind of like a besieged city. And now that we're returning, we're seen as like dirty vermin carrying lice coming in, you know, like we're the rats bringing the plague.
Right. Right. Which is, of course, you know, so fitting given the people, you know, in the U.S. who are referring to this as a foreign virus or a Chinese virus or something that's very much not a current existence in America.
Right, right. And it's, in fact, like, now all the cases in Hong Kong, or not all, but many of the cases in Hong Kong, are the students who are coming back. Now, because of all the universities were shut down all across Europe and America, you know, there's literally like tens, if not, I think, over 100,000 Chinese nationals and maybe tens of thousands of Hong Kongers specifically who study abroad full time, right? Whether it's, boarding schools in high school and colleges and university, getting PhDs, what have you. And they're all coming home. And you see these pictures, like even on our plane,
Everybody who's like, people were wearing like full hazmat suits, ski goggles, face masks, swimming goggles, you know, latex rubber gloves. We went in with like just like face masks, but right. you know, and now, but a bunch of these people are sick. Right. We're lucky that on our flight there hasn't been any sickness. And then also like when we got home, we're like, hey, we're home. Everyone's like, okay, well, let us know how your 14-day self quarantine will be going. And we're like, well, we missed the deadline by 5 days. We don't need to self quarantine. But it's like, but I understand, you know, like. Like they talk about social distancing, I think this is social pressure distancing.
Right.
Like,
exactly. You know, exactly.
You will be seen as like, it's like
you're unclean.
You know, you're a reprobate. Yeah. Like, right. How dare you? Like, and especially because like there's this feeling of like we've stayed here and suffered, and but at the same time, you know, yeah.
So
you know, we were gallivanting about picking up all sorts of nasty pathogens in the West.
Right, right. So you also now can offer this perspective of the future because, you know, we don't know how long this is going to last in the U.S. There's all kinds of weeks and dates thrown out there, and it's all just, you know, number casting at this point. But, you know, there is another side to it, or at least another stage to it, which is really where Hong Kong is. So, I mean, what is the glimpse at the future for the U.S. and how Hong Kong is acting now?
So if the U.S. gets serious about it and wear the darn masks, wash your hands till you're almost bleeding and moisturize a lot because cracks are also ways for pathogens to get in. So the future, right, it's been about, so I think the lockdown began around the beginning of February, so we're now, you know, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And Hong Kong never went to the stage where, like, of Wuhan, where there was like, just don't leave your house. People were always going out, but in a reduced manner. But right now the streets, like Hong Kong is almost normal, right? Like the gyms are open, but there's like, oh, we had a case. We're going to shut down for 2 days and just do a thorough cleaning. Mm-hmm. Goldman Sachs, the trading floors are open, but they had to close them yesterday. They announced because somebody had it and they're shutting down two floors indefinitely in their main headquarters here. You know, our co-working space is staffed, right? But it's very thinly, people aren't in the office. But like, if you go, the streets, there are people on the streets. Everyone's sort of generally being careful. But you know, at the end of the day, there's, people are at restaurants. I think
right.
the Westerners are a little like, you know, I walked by a bar and I'm like, it reminded me of that spring break video that, that everyone's seen.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
like, are you related to these people? You know, drinkers got a drink, I guess.
Yeah. Careless abandon. And must be nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I was thinking of like Weimar Republic, Germany, right? Like, well, let's all just do heroin and wait for the Nazis. Mm-hmm. I exaggerate, but, you know, there is sort of a grudging return. So some restaurants or a lot of places now, they're like, if you go in to eat, they're like, you have to sign a pledge. Say, you know, they'll take your temperature. Mm-hmm. And I haven't traveled in the past 2 weeks, so all my kids' activities, ballet, you know, play gym, whatever, they'll only let us join, you know, after 2 weeks. And if we make a pledge where we've traveled or haven't traveled.
Right.
So that's just the way things are, right? And then the other thing is that, like, Hong Kong once had this crazy, you know, toilet paper shortage. There was even like the toilet paper armed robbery. That was an unfolding story, but I'm pumped.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they made a clean sweep.
Right. I was about to say they wiped it through.
Right. They flushed out that caper.
Right.
So now
I'm trying to make a double ply joke, but I don't quite have it yet.
The story now, everyone's gone super long on like hand sanitizer and toilet paper and masks, that like it's just like mountains and walls of this stuff.
Sure. Supermarkets are packed.
Supermarkets, every store, it doesn't matter what you sell, you're like, I also got masks. You know,
right.
It's like but you're a camera shop. Yeah, but you know, if you're going out to take pictures, here's your mask.
Right. Capitalism will survive.
Right. And you know, Hong Kong is nothing if not capitalist. But now everyone here is sending supplies back to their family in the States to the point where DHL was handing out numbers like at a butcher shop because it was just overwhelmed and they ran out of numbers. So like this is now everyone's like panicking about their family back home. Like,
yeah.
You know, do you need sanitizer?
Right.
So, you know, hit me up
yeah.
for a fee. I'll hook.
So the general sense, it sounds like, you know, there is a slow and gradual return to normalcy, but everyone looks like they're on edge. It's not like you've actually, you know, you defeated the beast and light returns to the kingdom and everybody can go about as if nothing had happened.
Yes and no. You just change your habits. I mean, the other thing is that, like, there's a feeling here. So there's a good hospital system here, and the borders are largely closed. So the system wasn't open. It never became Italy here. It never became, like, a system on the verge of a breakdown, right? So if you catch it, you're probably going to be okay, right? The number of deaths here is, I think, 5.
Oh, my.
Very, you know, so given 200 infections, 5 deaths. The one thing that's weird here is, like dogs keep getting it, they claim, which no one else says. But anyway, so there is a return to almost normalcy. Like, a friend was, like, going to have a birthday party at, like, the trampoline center, the trampoline park. And we were, like, they kindly disinvited us because they were, like, we're assuming you're keeping to your quarantine. And we're, like, yeah. But we're, like, also, like, you're having a birthday party with 50 children in a like, drive you crazy.
Yeah.
So they had to cancel it, right?
Right,
so,
right.
They kind of, like, realize, yeah, this is kind of not, like, if schools are still closed, maybe you shouldn't have 50 children.
Right. Don't replicate the experience of a school.
Right.
Just because they aren't.
Just put them in a ball pit and tell them to lick.
Right. Know? Yeah. Like, that was a bad idea before any of this. But and lastly, from a business perspective, because that's the other thing that people are really freaking out about here beyond just, you know, am I going to die and how many people that I love are going to die, you know, the impact that it's having, especially on small businesses, restaurants and, you know, shops and the kinds of things that require, like, walk-in traffic and things like that. I mean, what did it look like in Hong Kong? I mean, how did those businesses make it through, if they did?
So some of them are not. There's going to be, like, there's a recession here already. So Hong Kong has already been kicked in the groin by the protests. So the protest is already put Hong Kong on weak footing. So I think a lot of the weaker businesses already got weeded out. And it's going to be just a lot of pain. But here, unemployment was 4%. Mm-hmm. Or no, lower than that. And it's like, oh my God, it's ticking up a little bit. So it seems, you know, they're going to be okay. The government had been running a surplus for years, and it's basically announced direct cash handouts, kind of like what's being contemplated and discussed in the U.S. So I'm going to get... every permanent resident gets 10,000 Hong Kong, which is, I don't know, 1,300 US equivalent. Mm-hmm. So they're doing direct cash injections. The other thing is that they have a very good, very cheap public healthcare system, so people aren't going bankrupt if they're ill. There's almost normalcy, but there's always going to be, I think people are always going to be looking over their shoulder from now on.
Yeah, right. And I mean, the thinking around here, you know, even among the more optimistic types, is that it's really hard to pretend anything is going to be normal until there's a vaccine, until people really feel that they're not taking their lives into their own hands every time they, you know, see another person that's not in their family.
Exactly.
All right, Shai. Well, normally I feel like these days I'm ending conversations by saying be safe, be healthy, but I really feel like you should be just wishing that to me and everyone out here. So.
You know, I agree. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands often, moisturize so they don't crack. Wear a mask. I really encourage Americans to wear the masks. Be careful, though. The only downside is, I guess, in the U.S. is the medical system is already so strained that it's hard. The masks aren't to protect you from others, but it's to protect others from you in case you're
sick, right.
A carrier. And I think that the chances are in the U.S. that it's so widespread now. But anyway,
yep.
So I guess best bet, stay home.
Yep. No, that's what we're all doing now. Well, anyway, Shai, thank you for a glimpse into the future. Let's hope all this part of it's over soon.
There's hope, there's light.
All right. Good to know. Thanks, Shai.
All right. Bye.